Welcome back to a conference convention edition of the NJCPA Issues Watch podcast, Tech Issues. I'm joined here today with an excellent friend of mine who's been on the podcast prior, and I was able to convince her to come back on. Welcome back.
Took a lot of convincing,
right? And so why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. I'm Melissa Dardiani. I'm a CPA here live from the convention. We're having a great time. Founder of MD Advisory Services. We're a boutique forensic firm that specializes in fraud investigations, litigation support, and all the fun stuff that goes along with those types of engagements.
All the fun stuff then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're always having fun.
And so then obviously, right, you know, in your practice, anything technology has to be really, really important. So are there any high impact tech trends that are directly impacting you and your practice and any of your external clients right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think COVID did something very interesting to us where it forced us all out of our offices and back to our homes, which in and of itself required quite an adaptation. Sure. So people are using Zoom meetings in the way that we used to sit down and have, you know, face-to-face in-person meetings. We've realized, well, now that's something that is, we're able to do in a much more efficient fashion, mm-hmm. by way of hopping on a video call. So we're saving ourselves commute and hassle that goes along with being in person, of course, but more specifically, what it's taught us to do is really adapt and learn to fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that in my practice as well as in my clients, where we're taking a hard look at our processes, mm-hmm. processes at any point in time and saying, is there the opportunity to improve this, whether it's making it more efficient or cutting out tedious, repetitive tasks that are not making the highest and best use of our resources, mm-hmm. our employees. Sure. So I think that's very important. And we're actually working very closely with a lot of our clients, not only from a financial perspective. Obviously, the accounting profession is changing rapidly. It's sure. been a major theme at the convention here. Every speaker is touching on how our profession is changing. And that could be by way of robotic process automation that's taking mm-hmm. over some of the tasks that we used to be more reliant on human beings to do, and especially by way of analyzing our data.
Absolutely.
We have more data available to us than ever. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important as accountants that we're learning to be able to derive insights from mm-hmm. that data and provide those insights in a way that's understandable and really focuses on the important aspects of what's in the data,
okay.
To our clients or other stakeholders.
Excellent points there. And so obviously as a firm owner and a firm entrepreneur, right? As an entrepreneurial CPA, are there any really, you know, high profile, high impact areas that's based on your track record and your sort of hands-on knowledge that anybody, either in a firm or their own practice, could try to start with to really maximize all of that really sort of higher end information?
Yeah. And actually, this is what my session tomorrow is for the data analytics for accountants and auditing professional session tomorrow. But we start with Microsoft Excel, right? Okay. It's a tool that we're all very, very comfortable using. And it has these capabilities that most people don't know about and aren't making use of. Mm-hmm. So you have the ability not only to be working in the traditional spreadsheet, right, mm-hmm. that you sure. and I and everybody else is so used to,
yeah.
but to also use it as a small database of okay. sorts. And of course, it depends on the size and structure of the data that you're dealing sure. with, but you can actually make use of something like Microsoft Excel via Power Query, mm-hmm. Power Pivot, and visualizations. Mm-hmm. And of course, Power BI, it's all yep. integrated together. Mm-hmm. So building out dashboards, analyzing data in real time to be able to monitor, whether it's from an auditing perspective, if you're internal audit, looking at different indicators mm-hmm. of fraud or mm-hmm. red flags of fraud that may arise in your processes, or if you're working on the planning and analysis side and you're looking to forecast trends and where the business is going, we're able to do this in Excel using a more of a back-end process that allows us to analyze larger data sets and replicate our procedures without having to actually go through all the steps of replicating procedure. Mm-hmm. So in other words, just dropping new data into our database, mm-hmm. pushing a button and letting it run. Or another example that comes right to the top of my mind is, you know, we export reports from something like QuickBooks
mm-hmm. yeah.
into an Excel yep. format. Yep. Again, running a macro, this is something we actually just worked on with one of our clients, okay. is running a macro to build a budget to actual schedule. And mm-hmm. the whole reason behind it was because the advanced version of QuickBooks was the one that was required to be able to run budget to actual reports. They didn't want to expend that additional amount mm-hmm. every month. So we created just a simple spreadsheet that mm-hmm. allows them to fill in their budget to actual report on a simple Excel spreadsheet just by exporting it and saving it into a particular folder.
Awesome stuff, right? And so, you know, it isn't always necessary to go out and to, you know, upgrade or to, you know, buy new tools or to try to have those awkward conversations, right? Because you do have tools and practices and options that are already inside the firm or inside your current offerings that you can just sort of make more and more comprehensive use of.
Sure. Right? And it's not to say that, you know, those conversations can't be had. Sure, and there are certainly more powerful tools and capabilities out there. I find that Excel is an easy sell to kind of begin to show people what the capabilities are mm-hmm. that accountants have at their fingertips. Once you've started to provide that value to them, I find that it's much easier then to broach the conversation of, well, have you thought about integrating something okay, like sure. a Tableau into your ecosystem?
Makes sense. And so adding on to that, so the last comment, are there any easier places versus others to try to start having those conversations on how to upgrade tools?
Well, you work in technology yourself, so I'm sure you can
a little bit, right?
You can also speak to the challenge that comes along sometimes with trying to get, whether it's clients or engagement partners at firms, out of their comfort zones. Mm-hmm. I think it's incredibly important that we do. The profession sure. is changing. We do not have the same level of access to staff.
Yeah, that's a big issue.
I mean, it's not the accounting profession only. This is mm-hmm. across the board. The Great Resignation has really pulled the participation rate in the labor market down, way down
yep.
To levels that we haven't seen before. And we're just not really sure when people are going to come back to work and, mm-hmm. and what those roles are going to look like. So yep. you see mega large companies like Amazon, as an example, finding ways to replace some of those roles mm-hmm. with technology, whether it's actual robots or process automation techniques like we've talked about. And the accounting profession is no different. And I actually think it's a good thing, because we are going to be able to, by forcing ourselves to automate, which is really what's happening as a result of this disruption, we are putting our lower level staff into higher level roles. Mm-hmm. When I started in accounting, as most of my generation and older can appreciate, it was, we're doing the grunt work.
Yep.
We're doing the data input. We are manually reviewing files. We're scanning them. I'm not quite green ledger
status. No.
That's a little before my time, but there was bank reconciliations, yep. manual bank reconciliations, you know, but tools like QuickBooks didn't have the smart mm-hmm. AI built into it like it does today, where it can pick up on classifications of transactions and where it thinks that you want to classify those things. So it was a lot more manual work. So yeah, I think it's an exciting time to be an accountant. And I think we have to have those conversations and be able to approach a new way of thinking about things, mm-hmm. because the world's moving on and we have to move along with it.
Absolutely right. You know, and it's sort of a common anecdote that I would try to use for current folks working in the field and then any new college graduates, is if everything else is automated, customized, and also personalized, except for us and our work and tasks, it isn't going to build well for us going forward.
That's right.
and to try to put a sort of cap on our conversation. All right, update us on the state of NJCPA and NJ Cannabis.
Oh, well,
there's a lot going on. I'm not quite sure what's going on, so that's why I'm asking the lesson.
So NJCPA perspective, it's always uplifting to be here at the conference. Mm-hmm. I feel like they pull in very relevant speakers that make us, and it's funny because I remember being at this conference 3 years ago, and one of the keynotes pulled up onto the screen a snippet from willrobotstakemyjob.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And accountants had something like an 80 or 90% chance of doom is what they how they referred to it.
Pretty much, yeah.
And actually that number has changed significantly. And the whole theme of this conference has been, we're not really at risk of being replaced. Our keynote, Donnie, mentioned that in his breakout session today. In fact, I mean, again, while some of the more rudimentary elements of our profession are going to be replaced, we as trusted advisors are going to be able to move into a much more focused role and a much more mm-hmm. human-oriented trust-based role where we're really able to interpret the data that we have available and help our clients handhold them through those decisions. So the being at the conference is always very uplifting for that
Absolutely.
Reason. From a cannabis perspective, obviously, adult use sales have rolled out mm-hmm. in New Jersey, which yep. is very exciting. There's a Zen Leaf not too far from my home. And mm-hmm. when I drive by it, the parking lot is always packed. You can often see people waiting in line outside, and it definitely seems to be booming okay. since the rollout, which was, I guess, formally in April.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of discussion surrounding the supply and okay, the accessibility. One of the things that I'm hearing a lot is related to the supply for medicinal patients who are, of course, in mm-hmm. the market first. And one of the qualifications for a cannabis business, if you were going to operate in the medicinal and adult use space, was that you had to be able to prove that you would be able to support the medicinal needs before
gotcha. Okay.
catering to your adult use patients. Whether or not that's happening, it might be a little too early to tell, mm-hmm. but I think some of the rumblings that I've been hearing is that the medicinal market is a little displeased with the level of access that they've been able to get in terms of the variety of the product. And I don't think quality has changed per se, but certainly in terms of the accessibility, the variety, and the price.
Gotcha.
So there's that. Mm-hmm. And then of course, what we care about the most as accountants is 280E and the hope that we're holding on to that the state of New Jersey takes action to decouple from the federal provision, which says that you may not take any business deductions as a cannabis company,
mm-hmm.
It with the exception of cost of goods sold and what you're able to reasonably allocate in there. It results in a very high effective tax rate for cannabis yeah. companies. It's quite discriminatory in nature because you have what is a legal business for mm-hmm. state regulation purposes that's being taxed essentially like they're dealing with illicit drugs. And the ironic thing about all of it is that the classification of cannabis under the Controlled Substances Act mm-hmm. is what's keeping us in what I call the 280E trap.
Okay.
So because it's a Schedule 1 controlled substance mm-hmm. and 280E specifically refers to Schedule 1 controlled substances, it's this interesting dichotomy where the IRS is kind of looking at Congress to make the change to declassify, and Congress is looking at the IRS to say, no, you should change the Internal Revenue Code.
Good luck with that. So
exactly. So what we're really hopeful for at the NJCPA, and we've taken a pretty active position, is that we would like to see New Jersey decouple from 280E for the purpose of New Jersey income tax, which would provide a slight break. It would incentivize businesses in New Jersey to stay in New Jersey and to continue thriving in what will be a very booming market. And we're kind of just waiting to see if we get any momentum on our the value proposition behind that.
Awesome stuff. Well said. And there is a ton of great content, great information going on, talking about all of these topics here at the NJCPA 2022 in person, believe it or not, in actual life together in person again. So
great to be back.
Great to be back here. It's awesome to have you on the podcast. And we'll have to have you on one more time.
Looking forward to
at
it.
At least.